Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Stonewall.
Would be a little weird. Wonder if that was named after someone special.
I can't imagine that they named a city in the state of Mississippi after a Union general. Maybe the most. We're thinking of Sherman. Stonewall was a Confederate. It may very well have been then. Yeah, that's very possible.
Yeah.
Where we are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. You are cooking out this weekend. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I got some beef for Saturday, my friend.
Ooh.
You know, I remember you talking about those beef flanking ribs, those little thin cut beef ribs.
Yeah.
I got a big pack of them ready to roll for us.
We got to talk about our plan on
Saturday. Got a lot going on. Don't you worry about all that. But if you're cooking out this weekend, whether you're at Duty Noble or just at home, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and I know for a fact that you are looking for it. You need to get new gear. You need to get the logos that you want. They are there at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is going to be at Restaurant Tyler. Guys, if you are going to be in Starkville anytime soon, a meal at Restaurant Tyler is a must. We've been telling people about it for years, and we will never stop because it is just the best. We love grabbing lunch at Restaurant Tyler, and you will too. Next time you're in Starkville, if you're here for lunch, if you're here for dinner, if you're here on a Sunday after a game and you want to do brunch, make sure you're at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only how to help you, they're going to help you manage your money, help you invest, help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, you need answers about your money. You need be able to get that answer immediately when you have a question. You can't afford to wait around. You need to talk to the people at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. It feels like this year with Mississippi State basketball, I'm always talking about some new statistical anomaly. Do you remember that there was a tweet that went viral? It was talking about when Otani was on the Angels, and it was like, it feels like every Angels box score is Mike Trout was 4-for-5 with 3 home runs, and Shohei Ohtani accomplished something that hasn't been done since 1881 as the Angels lose 7-3 or something like that. And it's always
had
something like that.
Two of the best players in baseball.
And couldn't win. And this is this week's for Mississippi State. I don't know how many games in the history of the sport of basketball where you can score 92 points and only turn the ball over twice and lose. But Mississippi State found a way to do it. 93-92 to Arkansas. They trailed by 16 in the second half. They put on a furious comeback. They're able to grab a late lead, but they could not hold on. They allow Arkansas to shoot 55% from the floor. They did not cross the dreaded 10 three-point threshold. Only 9 of 21.
First loss of the season.
Yes. But they allow a 25-footer to a, 27% three-point shooter with a guy in his face. I mean, it just...
That was all luck. I mean,
it was, but that sometimes you just shows you... I've determined something from watching this team this year, and maybe I'm just a biased observer on this one, but I feel like State is the most unlucky team. Now, some of that, you make your own luck, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like when you're talking about how many contested shots have gone through against Mississippi State. How many times the ball just happens to bounce against them? I'm telling you, I've watched this team all year. They are unlucky. And I think, now, obviously, some of that is their own making. When you miss wide open looks, there's an element of luck to that, of just bad luck.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what we talked about with Jans the first couple years, was why I thought he was a good coach, right? Because when State missed shots, it felt like every shot State took his first 2 years was either a wide open three or a shot right at the rim. And they just didn't make enough of them. And that's still the case, even when they're making 90, when they're scoring 92 points, they only shot 44% for the game. They shot 52% in the second half. So in the first half, 36% shooting, not good enough. And that's why they were down at the end of the, and they were only down one because they were taking care of the basketball. The other thing that stands out for me as far as the box score goes is the rebounding. For State to get rebounded by this team that was playing basically seven guys, out-rebounded 41-29, two Razorbacks in double figures with reboundings. And it wasn't on offensive. You see a stat like that, you think, wow, must be an offensive rebounding thing. State had more offensive rebounds than Arkansas. State just didn't get to claim any of their missed shots. They gave up 30 defensive rebounds. They missed 41 shots. 30 of them ended up in the hands of Arkansas. And at the end of the day, I mean, you just look at this box score. You've got six guys in double figures. Hubbard, not a great shooting day. And he had the only two turnovers, which is interesting. But Matthews, 13 points. Kugel, 12 points, although I didn't think he played great. Claudell Harris played really well. He was 18 points. He led State with 18 points. Murphy with 13 points. Nwoko had 9, so he's basically in double figures. And they still lost. Robbie, I know last year State came into the SEC tournament on a down note, right? They lost that last game to South Carolina. There was some talk, are they going to be on the bubble? Whatever. And they found a way in the SEC tournament to string together a couple of wins and give themselves some momentum going into the NCAA tournament. I just don't know about this year, Robbie. I don't know that this team's going to win another game. I could see them losing to LSU.
We'll see. I mean, they've been okay in the SEC tournament.
They have. Fans, but they have.
It's just like, this is just, this game was Mississippi State, in a nutshell this year. You scored 92 points. You have two turnovers. You hit 12 three-pointers. You had six guys in double figures.
Mm-hmm.
You're facing a team that has seven players. Mm-hmm. If you would have just given me that, don't give me anything else, I would have said State won this game by
easily
15 points.
Yeah.
But Wagner and Adu had the games of their life.
Yeah.
The games
Adu
of their life.
Adu averaging Wagner, how many points per game?
5.5.
Yeah. Had 21 Adu, then.
And I love the Arkansas guys. Curtis Wilkinson's one of, a guy that I think really follows Arkansas basketball as well as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he tweeted, how great it was to see him kind of coming out. And I tweeted him. I was like, no. You don't understand what's happening here, Curtis. You don't understand what's happening here. This is the false hope that a player's turning the corner because they're playing Mississippi State. And in reality, it's just because they're playing Mississippi State. He has not scored in double figures. I think there's only three games this year in SEC play he's had double figure scoring. And this was the second time in the last 12, 13 games in SEC play that he's scored double figures. Obviously was a career day for him, 21 points, career high, or at least at Arkansas, his high. 21 points, 10 rebounds, 8 of 11 shooting.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting second chance opportunities. State just did a terrible job against him. And then Wagner, season high, 24 points, 7 of 9 shooting.
How many times have we said season high?
I mean,
Mississippi State.
It is. That's what this team is at this point. If you want a career day, if you want to bring somebody out of a slump, Mississippi State is there for you. 21 assists for Arkansas. State just did an awful job defensively. And this is a team that they can put up some points. Mm-hmm. That they are capable of doing it. But it was just like, it was all Mississippi State, I felt like. Mm-hmm. Like the offense was happening because Mississippi State wasn't getting back in transition after a made bust bucket or a missed shot or a turnover or giving up a second chance opportunity, especially, it felt like that way in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And then second half, when you're making that run, they just never got a stop. You kept waiting for them. They would score, and you kept waiting for them to finally get a stop, and they couldn't do it. Every single time State would score to tie it or to take a lead,
they couldn't get back to
they
back.
Couldn't get it. And the three that you're talking about, I think, came on a possession after they got an offensive rebound. They get an offensive rebound. They kind of chunk it up, and it's a kind of a last ditch effort, and they make it. And then on the final possession, you get a missed shot. They get the rebound, and they have an opportunity for, you know, a chance to get fouled and go to the line, and that's how they got the lead in that final possession. It's just it was just a, you know, complete lack of focus on that side of the ball, and that's been the case for this team. And I totally get it that that at the end of the day, the coach answers for this, and Chris Jans is, you know, it's his team, and they go how he goes or whatever, but at what point do we just say that this team, particular team, is not capable? Like they are just not programmed to do it. Because we've seen Chris Jans do this his whole career. It's not like, you know, he just forgot how to coach all of a sudden. I think it's just this roster is just the guys that they got. They're just not capable of playing his style of play
and
the defensive side.
And again, you know, I'll devil's advocate you just a little bit that he recruited him. You know,
he did. But
there have been some missed evaluations here.
Look, I'm not taking that away.
Right.
I think that ultimately he is the guy that assembled the roster. He answers for it. I'm just saying, I don't know if there's anything he can do to coach
them
out of this.
Yeah. At this point, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just talking about he is the guy that has to answer for why they're doing this.
Right.
But as far as why aren't they
they're just not
getting the job
done
on defense. I just don't know if they're capable of
doing
it.
They're just not capable of doing it.
No. And it's like, you know, Cam Matthews is the guy we always talk about. Like, Cam needs to play better and all this. 13 points.
Played about his best.
Six rebounds, four assists, three steals, no turnovers.
Played one of his best games since the Kentucky game.
Yeah, so it's not on him.
This game was lost in the first 8 minutes of the second half.
Yes.
State's down one going into the break. They come out of the locker room. 8 minutes into the second half, they're down 16. They could not get a stop. They could not make a shot. And in that time, Arkansas pushes out the lead. State has to put together this furious comeback. But it's just and it's the same thing with the Texas game. It's kind of the same thing with the LSU game. They were just able to complete the comeback there. But it's just like if you play the whole game the way you play during the comeback, you'd win these games going away.
Yeah.
The fact that they can't bottle it up and just do it from the start of the game on, that's one of the most incredibly frustrating. There's very few things in sports as a fan that are more frustrating than a good team that doesn't play good consistently. If you're a bad team, I can just write it off as like, all right, they're just not a good team. They don't have any talent. You know, I never got too mad at Rick Ray's teams. It was just like, there's not any good. But this team, they were down 16, and then they came back. So they basically made up a 17-point deficit in, you know, 8 minutes of time. Like, if you play with that intensity the entire game, you win this game by double digits. And the same thing is true about Texas with the comeback that you put on there. The same thing is true about, you know, you were down what? How much were they down to Kentucky? And they couldn't hold on.
It was like 14, 16.
Yeah, how much were they down to Alabama? They were down at least double digits, I want to say. And
remember,
and now they came back in that one. So it's just,
but that's the thing with this team is like they confuse you.
Yeah.
Because you can't just say, you can't just throw your hands up.
Right.
They you're frustrated with them in the first half and you're down by one, and then they go down by 16 and everybody just wants to shut the TV off, and then they come back. So they confuse you. Like, how am I supposed to feel about this team? They fight their butts off to get back in a ball game, and then they ultimately lose. And you're like, why can you just not get down by 16?
Yeah.
Why do you have to get down by 14, 16, you know, 17 points and then make a furious comeback to get back in it? Why can't you just put together consistent play for 40 minutes and go win a ball game? To have an offensive performance like this, and they score 80-something against Texas. They score 80-something against Alabama and Kentucky. Like, these games, like, the offense is plenty capable of winning those games. 92 points should beat anybody in the country.
Yeah.
If you give me 92 points going into the game, I'm going to take Mississippi State against anybody.
Against anybody in the country, yeah.
Like, I would feel conflicted with Alabama or somebody like that, but I would still feel like Mississippi State, more often than not, would win those games.
Yeah.
And instead, they're losing these games when they're scoring 80-plus. So there's got to be some – we've said this the last few weeks, that there's got to be a happy medium here for Chris Jans. Having an offense like this – and also being able to defend the way he wants to defend. State. And that, you know, that's the really frustrating thing about the last 3 years is like they've been so hard to watch for different reasons. The first 2 years is because they couldn't score. The first year is they can't score. Second year is it's only Josh Hubbard.
Yeah.
And now it's they can score with the best.
But they cannot get a stop.
Can't get stops.
They're kind of what we thought football was going to be.
Yes.
They're like, they'll win games because they can score. But
which this would have been great in year one.
Oh, yeah. You could have scored like this with the way you played defense. You would have won a national title.
Yeah.
State had 61 points. Kugel scores a layup at the 9:54 mark. So basically, you're at the halfway point of the game, right? To put them at 61. They scored 32 points in the next 10 minutes. That's a pace to score 120 a game. But the way they played in the first 10 minutes of the second half just killed them. It absolutely killed them. And that's what's happened. That's been an issue all year of the way they come out of the locker room in some of these games. And they just
– Well, in some of them, they come out of the locker room playing their best.
They were doing that early in the season. And now they've kind of gotten away from that. Although
they did it against LSU and
I don't know
Texas,
if that,
they did not.
I don't know if that's LSU. They're playing their best, or if it's just LSU kind of regressed to the mean. And
well, I did think they played.
They played better. Played better.
Yeah. Well, you could tell that they really they were a little more inspired. They probably got a fire lit under them in the locker room.
I don't know what's going to happen this week in Nashville. My guess is State will beat LSU. I won't be surprised if they lose. But I think they'll beat LSU. Who will they play second?
Missouri.
That's probably not a winnable game for them.
It's a winnable game, but it's, you know, Missouri's got to miss a bunch of shots.
They got to miss a bunch of shots.
I just don't like Mississippi State against anybody can get hot.
I just wonder who they're going to play in the tournament. If they get the right match, it goes back to matchups. If they get the right matchup, they can advance. If they don't, they're going to go home week one. And then.
This is the first time where it just, like, for me, it wasn't just three-point shooting. That has been Mississippi State's demise in every loss. This is the first time that it wasn't.
This is the first time where, like, normally you look at the box score, and the opposing team shot 47%, and they shot 51% from three.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, Arkansas shoots 55%. They only shot 43% from three. I say only. That's really a good percentage.
Yeah.
But they did not kill State with a three. They killed State by consistently going to the rim and getting buckets.
It was defensive efficiency.
Yeah.
It was the fact that Arkansas was getting high percentage shots most of the time. And when they weren't getting high percentage shots, they were getting the offensive boards and they were putting it back. Like, a lot of their shots that they missed were three-pointers. They were making the shots inside. And Mississippi State, I mean, I hate to blame offense at all in this game whenever you score 92 points, but in the first half, they did have some wide-open misses from three, some misses around the rim.
That's every game.
I mean, I can't blame the offense, but you could have scored 55 points in the first half, you know?
Also, we should point out that on the final possession, down one, you can't get Josh Hubbard a touch. You can't, look, Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan for a reason, right? The last shot of the game was always going to go to Michael Jordan. The last shot of the game is going to Kobe. It's going to LeBron. Josh Hubbard has to take the last shot. That has to be stressed. Like, whatever we got to do, I don't care if he gets triple teamed, the last shot goes to Josh Hubbard, and to not get him that is... it's criminal.
Do they have a timeout? They don't show it on live stats. I don't remember if they did or not. But
know that Jans has talked about that before. He just feels more comfortable letting his offense go and letting them do what they got to do. And I
get that, but it never works.
It never works. So it feels like you got to adjust that. So
this team is so bad at the end of games, like the end of regulation. This team is so bad. Last week was the first time they weren't at the end of regulation, and that was because they stole an inbounds pass and scored a layup. But you think of all those games, like Ole Miss did not finish well into regulation. Alabama, that was a disaster at the end of regulation. South Carolina, end of regulation. These games, these close games, Kentucky, they just don't finish well. And it seems like they could have got something better there. I mean, Cougar was stuffed. And then you had I thought a good look for Melendez just didn't make it.
Yeah. I'm trying to. There's two.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to see if.
I
Did
don't know why
Jans
they don't
call?
have a timeout thing on here.
Three. State had definitely had a timeout.
They
They
got
definitely
to.
had one. Yeah.
I know they had like three left in the first half. They didn't use them.
Yeah, which, whatever there. But, gosh. It's just frustrating. But it's the same story. We've been it feels like we could just put a podcast up from any game and just replay it, and it's the same story. Like they had their chances, they didn't take them, they screwed this up, and now they lose. And so you're limping into March when and it's crazy. State schedule was so difficult, and then they reached after that Alabama game. It was okay. You're going to play four unranked teams. You lost to three of them,
Yes.
and it was just like. When they beat Ole Miss, I thought, okay, they're about to get going. They're really about to start playing good basketball.
I really thought they could get 11 wins.
I thought Jans thought that too. I interviewed him that next Wednesday on Thunder and Lightning Live, and he sounded confident that they were about to get some things going. This is right after they beat Texas A&M. And I was like, they're about to start going here, and instead it completely fell apart for him. So. They'll go into the tournament. We'll see what happens. But man, it's definitely a very disappointing end to this regular season. But on the bright side, if there is one, it was a disappointing end of the season last year. And they went to the tournament, won a couple of games, gave themselves a little momentum, thought they had a chance in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, it didn't work out that way. So we'll see who they match up with. Probably going to be in the 8-9 range now, unless something really weird. I tend to agree with what some of the national analysts say that. Once you get past Thursday, they stop caring about the results, right? State could win the SEC tournament and probably still wouldn't be much more than a seven
Yeah,
seed.
it'd probably be like a six
Yeah,
tops.
maybe. They just don't care at this point. I think the bracket is basically done on Friday, and it's just like, all right, if there's an upset, we'll make a change.
Yeah,
So
it
we'll see.
usually is.
Let's switch over to baseball, and that's brought to you by our good friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food, and the Older Brother. The home of the fancy sandwich. I made it to the Older Brother. I've been craving it for a couple of weeks now. And I went over there on Friday for lunch with my daughter. It was great. She had that's her favorite burger in the city of Starkville, the Older Brother burger. And of course, some fries. I had my croque monsieur, the fanciest sandwich, in my opinion. It's got a French name. I mean, what more do you want? They had a great special working. I don't know if it's like a Lenten thing, but it was a red snapper patty sandwich. So, like instead of a crab cake, like a cake of
Yeah.
snapper with it was looked
Like
really
a
good. I
salmon.
thought about getting that. I'll be
Yeah.
honest with you, it looked really, really good. So check them out. The Older Brother, one of my favorite new restaurants in town. The Two Brothers, the legend, the standard here in Starkville, both right there in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. 50. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And if you need any kind of service after that sale is made, it's simple. It's easy. They're easy to find. It's the same phone number. It's the same people. They're going to take care of you with service after the sale. They treat you like a neighbor, not a number. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to your next game here in Starkville, you need to make sure you're heading to Maroon and Co. to grab some new gear, to grab something with the M over S, the interlocking, the state script. If you don't have those things now, if you're still wearing the banner M, you're behind the times. That's no good anymore. That's not what we're wearing here in Starkville. Get with it with some new gear at Maroon and Co. and use our promo code to save some money. Thunder15 will save you 15% off on regular price items. Some exclusions will apply. I still don't know what they are, but they do apply apparently. Next time you're in Starkville, you need to get new gear. You've got to go to Maroon & Co. I thought you said it best in your tweet. You're talking about State was 1-3 last week in baseball. They had to go 4-0 this week. They did go 4-0 this week. I don't know that the games were quite the domination that you and I talked about on Friday, but State was never in any doubt. State won easily in all three games. You saw plenty of fireworks at the plate. Aaron Downs has a fantastic chance to be the SEC Player of the Week, despite only playing two games. And then from a pitching perspective, Pico may have had the weakest start of the weekend, and even he was pretty good. I really liked what I saw from Ben Davis on Saturday. And then Carson Ligon, look, I know the team is not any good, but he wasn't wild. He commanded the strike zone. He threw five no-hit innings.
Well, you know what that's going to be, right?
Yeah.
Fool's gold.
I think you're right, but
I hope not. I hope he has success.
He'll start next week, and we'll see what happens.
Sam Sklar was sitting next to me. He was like, "This could be turning the corner." And I told him, "I've seen this movie before, Sam." And again, pulling for Carson. I hope he does great. Mm-hmm. But I'd called this coming in. He was going to have a really good start. We'll see how he does against Texas. If he comes out against Texas and he has that kind of start, then you got something at that point, and especially if Ben Davis is good again, and then you're really starting to seal up that weekend rotation. But I thought they did what they had to do. There were some people upset that there weren't run rules, but this team was close to a run rule in the last 2 days, and we saw freshmen getting opportunities. I think it was just Lamonis last year was upset late in the year because he was trying to get guys in the ball game early on in the season, and they were run ruling people and they couldn't get those opportunities. And by the end of the year, you're having to put Michael O'Brien and
he's back,
Ethan Pulliam and those guys and Aaron Downs, you're trying to get them in the lineup because you're struggling. Mm-hmm. And those guys had no experience.
Yeah.
So now I think this is a good thing for Mississippi State, that as much as we wanted to leave the stadium early,
mm-hmm.
they do have several players that got some real reps, mm-hmm. and are getting in the ball game and getting to pitch and getting to field and hit. And that's going to be big for this team moving forward. I think what we've seen from this offense early on this year really backs up with what I've said preseason and coming in this year, that this really is a lineup that has the potential to be super deep,
yeah.
and loaded. And there's obviously some holes still there with a couple of guys, but we're not seeing anybody just go, 0 for their last 17.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there might be a guy have a rough day but come back and get a couple of hits. That's the strength of this team right now to me, is the length of the guys that you can put in there, the 12, 13 guys that you feel like you could start and really not miss much of a beat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the elephant in the room is what's happening behind the plate.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not getting good results there.
Right.
8 pass balls now for Ross Highfield, and you had 2 in the 9th inning that essentially cost you runs. And they've got to get that fixed. And Ross is an extremely talented kid. Unnatural speed, I would say, and unnatural athleticism for a guy – at catcher,
mm-hmm.
but they got to get better play from him behind the plate, because
they gave him the day off Saturday.
They're not getting, the other guys when they've been able to play, Jackson Owen and Joe Powell, we haven't seen anything from them offensively yet, but yeah. Owen hasn't really gotten any opportunities.
And Powell was 1-for-2 on Saturday with an RBI, but
that's right. He did have a base hit.
Yeah.
It might be good. It was good for Hunter Hines to sit. It might be good for Ross to get maybe the midweek games off, or mm-hmm. or something, and let him sit back and breathe a little bit and watch, what's happening in the game with other guys.
Yeah.
Because that's something that if you don't have a guy back there that can block up a breaking ball,
you're gonna lose a lot of games.
In a tough moment in the game, that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be able to really command the ball game at that stage, because a pass ball with a guy on third base and 2 strikes, 2 outs
is a problem.
And you're going to have a lot of guys that are going to throw breaking balls, in the dirt and try to get a guy to swing and miss on it. You got to have somebody back there that's going to block it up. So you got to fix that. That to me is the biggest issue right now with the team, is just the inconsistencies that you're seeing. And Lamona said it post game, is he doesn't care if it's a wild pitch or a pass ball. At the end of the day, the ball is hitting the backstop. And you got to find a way to cut that out, or this is something that's going to cost you games.
You mentioned Hunter Hines there. Had a great Friday night. Had a couple of base hits, had a home run. Next two games, he's 2 for 10. And didn't do much. He's 1 for 5 in each game. Do we feel like this weekend was good for him, or are we still on the fence with Hunter Hines?
It looks bad, but the way that he was hitting it,
he raised his average 70 points this weekend.
He's hitting balls the other way. He looped one in the outfield. It wasn't just straight in the shift. He's not striking out a lot this week. I didn't really look at it. I looked at it as a step forward for him because he was going the other way with it a good bit.
Yeah.
We saw two doubles the other way.
Yeah,
you know, a couple of hits were hard hit balls that were just right at guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say he's just like locked in right now, mm-hmm. but he's in a much better place mentally.
Yeah.
I would say for sure.
Complete. Just hit the brakes. We'll come back. Josh Allen, new deal, 6 years, $330 million, $250 million guaranteed.
Ooh.
That's a deal there.
I could do a lot.
He is
with
now
that.
The highest paid player.
Well, Max Crosby got, how much did he get the other day?
A lot. I didn't see.
He's like I want to say he's like the highest paid player, not a quarterback.
He's higher than Chris Jones now?
I believe.
Oh,
though.
God, I don't know about that.
He's making a lot of money.
Yeah, 330, 250 guaranteed. That's a lot.
That's
of money.
Insane.
Good for him. It's crazy though. Hasn't won a Super Bowl.
He has not.
Yeah. Oh well.
The Bills, man.
I know. Let's get back to it. Two midweek games this week. Something that occurred in my mind because he didn't pitch this week, or at least if he did, I missed it. Stone Simmons didn't go this weekend, right?
No, I think
surely he gets one of these midweek starts.
I think that's
right?
What that probably is.
Yeah,
he's probably going to start one of those. And
you go him on one game and then Pruitt on the other.
Pruitt or Foster.
Foster
Pruitt,
might be.
Pruitt is probably, if Stone is starting,
mm-hmm.
then it's probably Stone and Pruitt.
Yeah,
if I had to guess,
I would go Pruitt then Stone. That way, Pruitt hasn't pitched on the weekend since the first weekend, right?
Yeah, he's been. I mean, he's
he was
looks
so
like
good
he's
against
Tate's
Troy.
Midweek pitcher now.
Yeah, he was so good against Troy, but then he was not great against Southern Mississippi.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from him. You know, I really thought he would be in the weekend this week or against Texas,
mm-hmm.
but. You know, Ben Davis, I feel like, he looked like he had some real stuff the other day and was so efficient.
Was really good, I thought.
Really efficient. Throwing strikes. He threw 57 pitches in 6 innings. That's
mm-hmm. That's really good.
It doesn't get much more efficient than that. If you can be under 10 pitches per inning.
57 pitches, 40 strikes.
Yeah.
So two-thirds of his pitches were strikes. 4 strikeouts. He did walk 2, but only gave up 1 hit and 1
run. I mean,
run.
He's like, his stuff right now is almost like some Kendall Graveman stuff. Like,
well, that's a great comparison.
Mid to high 90s power sink,
mm-hmm.
and he's getting a lot of chops and, you know, just beating the ball into the ground,
mm-hmm.
and that can get you a lot of innings.
Yeah.
Kendall used to get, you know, complete game after complete game because he would just throw strikes and they couldn't barrel him up,
mm-hmm.
and they'd hit it right at second base or shortstop,
mm-hmm.
and it was just ground ball after ground ball. So Davis is a guy that he can strike you out or – you know, he can pitch to contact, and it's fairly weak contact. I don't remember, and this Queens, but I don't remember a lot of hard hit balls against him. So he's a guy that he could eat you up a ton of innings on Saturdays, and that would be huge if you could get Pico for 6-7 innings on a Friday night, and you get 5 or 6 from Ben Davis on a Saturday.
Especially with the wealth of depth they
it's
have.
It's another 1-2 punch like you had last year.
Yeah, it really is.
And I don't know if it's going to be quite that dominant,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to have a chance to win Fridays and Saturdays. And then on Sunday, just see what happens.
It's funny, you know, with that and then State as a team right now is hitting 333. And I know they haven't played the best competition.
Well, and that's
but what were they hitting this time last year? It wasn't 333.
I need to find what I did the other day. They also were like 307 or something going into last weekend.
Mm-hmm. So
they've come up.
And then another thing that strikes me is as a team last year. 79 home runs, right? 20 of them from Dakota Jordan.
For the whole year?
79 home runs for the whole year.
Wow.
They already have 31 right now. I mean, Sullivan only has 3, but it feels like every time he's up, he's driving the ball. Downs has 7. He hit, what, 5 this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
So that's crazy. Stevens
No,
has
he hit four.
four this weekend.
Yeah.
Stevens has four. Reese has six. Bryce Chance has three. Hunter Hines has three. Reed Stallman has four. You got legitimately a chance to get, just in terms of double-digit home runs, four or five guys.
So this is what they did coming. I researched this the other day. I'd have to get back on track here after the three games. But
yeah,
last year, through 12 games, they had scored 95 runs with 113 hits, 24 doubles, and six home runs. This year, they had scored 102 runs, mm-hmm. seven more runs, 132 hits, which was almost 20 more hits,
mm-hmm.
25 doubles, and 24 home runs.
Mm.
So they almost had 20 more home runs through 12 games this year than they did last year.
That's crazy.
And people thought I was crazy when I said this preseason that I felt like this team could hit more home runs
yeah.
than last year's teams because you lose Dakota Joy.
Oh, I definitely felt that.
Yeah. But this team is way more equipped top mm-hmm. to bottom to hit home runs and to be more productive at the plate than last year's team. And
yeah.
I think that's starting to come to fruition. I'm seeing a lot. It's adding up to what they went after in the portal and what they went after
mm-hmm.
The last couple of years as far as like getting players that are going to put together better at bats.
Yeah.
I think Noah Sullivan has a pro approach to the plate. I think Nolan Stevens is getting there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that can go to all fields. Mm-hmm. I think Ace Reese is a guy that can go to all fields. This is going to be a more difficult lineup to scout
yeah.
for other teams than it was the last year.
Agreed.
In the last 2 years. This team is going to be tough to hold scoreless for like 7-8 innings.
I agree with that. And I just feel like you've got more guys through the lineup who can deliver clutch hits
yeah.
this year. Yeah. Even Stallman, who's been struggling a little bit, but he got off to a hot start. He had a bad weekend this weekend, but he had a great weekend last weekend. So I think he'll figure it out as well. I still think that Tuesday game messed with his head. He had the two mistakes. He had the
yeah.
fly ball, and then he had the base running error. I think that messed with his head a little bit.
USM,
yeah,
or the
it was USM,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Okay,
so we'll see where it takes us. So two midweek games this week down on the coast, Old Dominion and Nicholls State, and then SEC play starts on Saturday. The Texas Longhorns, their first ever SEC action, will be at Diddy Noble Field. First time, obviously, to see the Longhorns since the College World Series, where State eliminated them en route to the national championship.
And real quick, shout out to the softball team.
Yeah, they are having a good day.
We're going to assume, we're jumping to the conclusion here, but they're up 5-0 in the third against Auburn.
They won yesterday.
Take this series.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's 5-2 now.
Okay, well, I'm going to jinx them then.
You absolutely did that.
And if they do hold on, they get a series win. So hopefully
yeah,
that happens.
We'll see where it goes.
And then Monday, they're
Monday finishing
night
up the series. Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing a Saturday, Sunday, Monday softball series.
It happens. It happens in in SEC play
because
they have a Monday night game on SEC Network.
Okay.
So well, there you go. You'll see Saturday through Monday series. Okay. State usually has one or two.
All right. What do we got this week? We got the SEC tournament. Robbie will be up in Nashville. We'll work our recordings out. We won't miss any podcasts for that. We've got baseball. SEC.
Still doing rumblings on Tuesday? We're getting back on track?
Yeah.
Tuesday
we'll
for Wednesday?
Tuesday before you go, yeah.
Okay.
And then we got baseball. Big baseball stuff to talk about this week with Texas coming in. Spring football, two more previews this week. We'll get Auburn and Florida this week. Two very interesting teams. Two teams, we're going to say this a lot. We said it last week with Arkansas, but coaches on the hot seat. There are coaches on the hot seat in the SEC this year. I think this could be a offseason with a lot of change when we get to the end of the 2025 season, and Florida and Auburn are right there in the front of that. Plus, we got to talk some MSU football as well. We got to start looking at this team a little bit as what we're going to see this spring. Guys, have a great week. Have a great Monday. We'll talk to you again very soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk. This is another day in the sky.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.